Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Brandon's going to get angry today, everybody. It's a God no. Talk Friday, so...
Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not.
Get us 5 seconds of silence before we get into the G.O.D. Okay, Brandon. It is God Talk Fridays, so in theory, we're going to be in a centered space to let the people know about the G.O.D.
Yeah, it's an important thing to do to center yourself so that you're not messing up. So I look forward to this God Talk Friday during Lent. I appreciate these days when you don't yell at me, when you're kind to me, when you don't stop at the border of kindness, Larry, but you push through.
All right, the Center for Action and Contemplation going through a series called When Anger Meets Love. Today's post is called Anger and Grief. I really enjoyed this, actually. It was a couple of days ago. Here's the smidge. If grief is a natural response to loss, then anger, as a common attribute of grief, is also natural. The power of our anger often correlates with the depth of our love. Anger takes many forms on the grief journey. Sometimes it manifests as a low-level irritability, and other times as a roaring fire, often unleashing itself on inappropriate targets. Sometimes it's directed at an individual we deem responsible for our loss. One more little smidge. Most of the time, our anger is due to unwillingness to face the hurt we feel and the real reasons behind it. To learn to weep in order to be free of anger and to know rest does not obviate self-respect. It is not related to putting oneself down. I hate that the center always uses the big words.
No, okay, sure.
On the contrary, if we're struggling to see God single-heartedly, to learn to weep the anger out of ourselves is a matter of self-respect. There's this sign that I saw once that said, hurt people, hurt people. So if you're
hurting, that's kind of true, though.
That's it. Like, if you don't know yourself and you're lashing out in your anger, you're going to hurt more people. Hurt people, hurt people, Brandon.
Well, this, by the way, this article was written by a woman named Mirabai Starr, who's just amazing. She writes a ton of stuff about faith, but from a very honest perspective, in my opinion. She's not angry. She's a little bit like Roar in the sense that, which is probably why they choose her. No, I don't think she's angry at all. I think she's just sort of laying it out for us. And she basically talked, there's a couple things in this article that really struck me. Number one is anyone that has lost somebody that you really love is going to be angry about it. I'm sorry. If you're not, you didn't love them. Because it is, like, if you don't ask those questions, like, why?
I don't think it's 100% unanimous.
Okay, but when your dad died, were you not at all angry about it?
That's my point in case. My dad was one of the, I think it was the second or third person in California to get a kidney transplant.
Oh.
His life was a miracle to begin. Like, the fact that he made it as long as he made it,
yeah. There was nothing fair enough. Like, I'm talking about like when Damon D died or when someone dies
Damon
suddenly.
Damon D would be.
You're kind of like, what? What? The dude was a runner. He never did anything wrong in his life.
Yeah.
And he's dying. So I will retract. That's a good point you made. I mean, there are times when we expect it and we're like, hey, this is just a blessing they got to live as long as they did. I think it's that idea, like someone, you know, your kid's coming home from school and they're killed by a drunk driver in a car crash. You know, you can't, in my opinion, it's very hard not to be angry with whomever, at least the way you see it, as someone calls it, like, God, why did God let it happen? Why was that person drinking? But it always reminds me when I start thinking about that. Do you remember that story about when the Amish schoolhouse was the dude basically went in and not kidnapped, but he held hostage a bunch of Amish schoolgirls, and he ended up killing them, a bunch of schoolgirls, and then he killed himself. And so this was a horrible tragedy in Amish country in Pennsylvania. And
is
I remember
a Harrison Ford movie?
No, it's a true story. It really happened. Okay. And this guy goes in there. I can't remember why he did what he did, but he goes in and he shoots these girls. And then he, you know, he kills himself and they have a funeral for him. And his parents are there. And the parents of the shooter are just devastated. They're like, we don't know how it happened. We don't know what led to this. You know, everybody was devastated. And what was so powerful about this is the Amish leaders of this Amish community who had just lost all these girls attended his funeral and prayed with his parents. And it's always struck me. I don't know much about the Amish. I know they can be pretty hardcore, but it just struck me of that is grace. When you're saying, hey, we did lose these girls, but you lost a son too. And even though he was did a horrible, evil thing, you still lost somebody.
I hate this example.
Why?
I just hate it. Because, of course, like, if you're a parent at Sandy Hook Elementary School, you're going to be overcome with anger about the situation you're in.
But that's my point, is they were angry and they showed grace.
That is not normal life. That is a horrible, evil experience on Earth that doesn't happen all the time. Actually,
the point to that, the point to that, Larry, is not that it happens. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying showing grace, which is what this article is about, is understanding that anger is unmet expectations, that you're angry at something that you expected to happen and it didn't. You know, you could expect that your kids can go to school and be safe, and that if they're not, you're going to get angry. That's all
your
my point.
Your dad dies of some natural cause at the age of 80, and you're angry?
No. You made a point. I agree with you.
But I definitely know people whose dads have died at a normal age, and they're, like, angry.
Yeah, well, so let me push you back on it. No, let me push back on you a little bit on this, then. What do you think her point is in the article about this, then? What do you take from it?
As you know, in America, we do not like to talk about death. So we don't talk about death. It is always untalked.
Right.
So then someone dies, and you've never thought about the consequence of them in your life. You, like, just sit Shiva. The Jews sit Shiva when someone dies. I think the purpose of that is to reflect on what that person has meant to you, address the emotions, and then you can move forward with life. Normal Americans do not do that. So then you're angry, and you're trying to, why am I angry? Well, because you never figured out why you're sad or hurt about the person that just died.
Okay, and we've talked about this before, and that's a huge mantra of yours. It's a bingo square for you about, like, people don't know themselves, and you're 100% right. But what Mirabai Starr is talking about is that you're going along in your faith, and everything's great, and everything's good, and everything's going the way you think it should,
Woo-hoo!
including your image of God.
Yeah,
God is this certain thing, and I go to church on Sunday.
Amen.
God is. It, as C.S. Lewis called it, God is up and to the left.
Okay, good.
Mirabai Starr is saying, when you're faced with this kind of tragedy and anger, what you're faced with is your own, as she quotes, groundlessness. You are not grounded. You do not understand the mystery that is God, and that's why you're so angry. She's saying you've got to push past that into the mystery of God. You cannot know why this stuff happens. So you push through. Otherwise, you're saying, well, you don't know yourself. That's true. What about a person that does know themselves really well and is still angry? Does that mean they're a terrible person?
I think she also says anger is not a bad emotion. It's how we're dealing with, how we're releasing the anger.
Of course. Of course. That's what she says. But her crux to her, I don't want to say argument, because I think the point she's trying to make is that it's when we remove our expectations of God or the creator or whatever you want to call him, that's when we can actually begin to understand the God and the creator.
So we have expectations of the life that my loved one was supposed to lead, and now it's why I'm angry.
Like, that's what she's saying, basically, right?
Have expectations about how long Dame Adisha should have lived?
Of course, man. I didn't think he was going to die at 37 years old. No. I mean, it was a complete... I remember being just absolutely devastated. And in fact, I was talking with Maple on the way to school just today about, she was like, well, what would Damon D have done about, we were talking about swearing. And she goes, well, did Uncle Damon swear? And I'm like, well, yeah, but he just didn't swear that much. And she asked me questions about him all the time. And for me, what I've begun to realize is that for her, for his daughter, Greta, for other people that were impacted by him, to keep his memory alive, which is why we sit Shiva, is to keep his memory alive in the positive, in what he did that was good in the time that he had, is understanding God within him, right? So I could pass that on to my daughter. It's like she's never going to know him. She's never going to have a single interaction with my brother, a real interaction. Yeah, I have videos of him and stories of him, but she's never going to have a single interaction. But her life will be impacted by the life that he lived. And so, same with your dad. I never met your dad. In fact, I knew that he had a kidney transplant. I'm sure at one point you told me, but I know for a fact, because of my friendship with you, that I have been impacted by your dad. The same way I know that Pat Olsen impacts me, even though I've never met, well, maybe I've met Pat. I don't know. Have I met you, Pat? Anyway, but the point is that we are impacted by these people. And if we allow God to work through that, instead of being angry about it, and not that anger is a bad thing, it's that normal process. But I think what I took from this article, what I really appreciated, as somebody who suffered grief like that, is to say, I was putting God in a box, and I had an expectation on God that wasn't real.
God in a box. So I actually, I'm going to just once again, everything I just said, take it all back.
Oh, okay.
I actually have recently gotten angry that my dad died 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's because I was thinking about like my profession and what I do. Nobody cares that I'm on the radio. Nobody
listens.
I
care.
Not a lot of people listen to this podcast. This just into the newsroom. Nobody mostly cares about what I do as a profession. Nobody cares. My kids, family, friends, nobody listens. I was just with a good friend over the weekend. He's like, you got a podcast? I'm like, you son of a. But my dad would have. My dad would have been the only person in my life. He did it throughout all of the endeavors that I had. He would have listened every day to everything I do. So the one person that cares is not around.
Yeah. That's,
that makes me angry.
Wow, bro. That is actually pretty profound. I hate to say, I hate to give you any props on that, but like,
it took me a while to figure it out. Like I literally took me like 25 years or recently going, oh my God, I'm angry because the one guy that cared is not here.
So if you were taking the advice of Mirabai Star and you were saying that it's okay to be angry about it, but then what's the next step in angry? Where do you put that? What do you do with that? Knowing that your wife doesn't listen. Your mom does listen. I listen. I think more people listen than you think, but
okay.
You know, I'm saying of people, you know, and so what do you do with that? Knowing that your dad cannot listen in the earthly sense, what do you do with it?
Yeah, no, it's a great reminder of like, what am I feeling and why am I feeling it? And kind of looking into that. And then, you know, I feel like I've kind of released it a little bit better. Mm. Since having that anger come bubble up, I've been able to be like, what is it really about? Like what? And so it's a longer podcast than this one, but I've definitely feel like I've reined it in a little bit better as to what I'm feeling, why nobody cares about what I do.
Well, it's so interesting because, you know, I wish we were sitting around your table eating burritos together and having this longer conversation, because I would say to you, I completely disagree with you on this one. Disagree with you.
You can't lie with the data. You can't argue with
the data. But you think that millions of people listening is more important than two or three people listening or one person listening.
No,
and what I'm saying is that your life has profoundly impacted me. So I'm just one person, but I'm impacted by what you've done. And you don't actually...
You're trying to make me cry?
You make a joke about everything, but it's fundamentally true. And I guarantee you have three kids that maybe they don't listen, but they're impacted by what your dad has done. So you saying, wow, my dad's not here. I'm the same way. I used to get on the phone with my brother and we would talk and tell stories to each other. And I often am like, oh man, I wish I could call my dad. I wish I could call my brother and I can't. But I think that what Mirabai Star is saying is that we have to sort of rest in the mystery of that groundlessness, that idea of like, wow, 25 years later, I'm mad at this happening to my dad. That never goes away. And that's a healthy, honest approach to it. Because I don't care if I honestly believe that if a million people listen to this podcast,
yes,
you would still be angry about your dad not being able to listen. That's what I really think.
Well, I think you're wrong.
Okay.
But here's the bottom line. I don't need a million people. I've run through it. I've run its course, Brandon. I found my chi.
Well,
I got angry and I've let it run its thing.
Well, Larry, I'd like to thank you for confusing me profoundly today on this topic. But I do feel like this was a really interesting exploration of anger.